You take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. A couple of verses here that speak to Christ coming into the world. The time that we celebrate this time of year. And I want to deal with this today as we approach the subject looking for answers at Christmas. Looking for answers at Christmas. You know, there's almost always an excitement in the air around Christmas time. The kids are really getting antsy about now, aren't they? And it's for both children and adults, there's the anticipation of Christmas morning and the gifts that will be both given and received. And that increases the excitement. We always love to see the kids opening their gifts that we have given them. Almost always, there are questions that parents and grandparents have to field at Christmas. I'm talking about the Christmas season, from the little ones. Amen? And they're just full of questions. And we're going to take a look at that this morning. Look at Galatians 4 and verse number 4 and 5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons." And we might receive the adoption of sons. Let me get that right. Might receive the adoption of sons. All right. One of the questions that kids always have, when is Christmas going to get here, right? Yeah, they want to know, when is it? And you got to tell them, they don't catch it the first time around. They don't catch it the fifth time around. You got to tell them every day. You know, it's going to be, you know, this day. And you tell them. Children have that anticipation of Christmas, and many of them will drive you nuts wanting to know when Christmas is. And for some of us, that's a short drive. I know it is for me. And we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, but it is not known for certain the exact date that Jesus was born into this world. We don't know. Man, we just choose to celebrate this time of year. I've seen some try to prove and disprove that it was December 25th. I don't get into the arguments on that because it's not really important. It's not important at all. What does the Bible say about it? The Bible simply says when the fullness of time was come. That's when Jesus came into the world, when the fullness of time was come. That first Christmas was at a time appointed by God, time of His appointing. Remember, we've been looking in our Gospel of John series, we will get back there after the beginning of the new year, Lord willing. Well, we're not done there yet, but we were looking, and you remember, every time that the Pharisees were wanting to do Jesus harm, it wasn't time yet. You know, God has His timing. And things are going to go according to God's timing, not according to man's timing. And when it says here, the fullness of time was come, you know, nobody could rush that, nobody could delay it. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you're an Old Testament saint. I mean, they were looking for Christmas. They were. We're looking for that first Christmas when Jesus would come into the world. Adam and Eve looked for Christmas, as the Lord told them in Genesis 3:15, after they had sinned. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed," speaking to Satan there. "He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so they knew that the Lord was going to have someone to deal with Satan. In Genesis 4:1, it says that Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, I'm sure she was full of excitement thinking, well, this might be it. But it wasn't it. You know? It was thousands of years later when Jesus was born into this world. Not only did Adam and Eve look for Christmas, Abraham looked for Christmas. God told Abraham in Genesis 12:3, In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that was a promise of the Redeemer. That's how we're all blessed. We have a provision made by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He died for the sins of the world, death, burial, and resurrection. Not everybody's going to receive Him, but you're blessed, and I'm blessed. And even the lost world is blessed that there is a Savior available to them today. They may not understand that, and we share the gospel in anticipation of them hearing the gospel and receiving it and coming to the Lord. But we know Abraham knew a little bit about what the Lord was talking about, but it was way in the future in Abraham's day. But as he went up on Mount Moriah to offer Isaac as a sacrifice unto the Lord, he got an early look at Christmas. That ram that was caught in the thicket was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that substitute that took the place of his son. And what a wonderful picture there that the Lord gave him. And he received the Lord in the pictures that the Lord gave to him. Isaac looked for Christmas. God told Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 3 and 4, He said, I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And there it is, in thy seed, and the seed that he's talking about, not seeds, in thy seed, the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob looked for Christmas. God told Jacob in Genesis 28:14, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, I mean, promise after promise. God reiterated his promise. Jacob's sons looked for Christmas. As Jacob called his sons to him prior to his death, to tell them that what God had revealed to him was in their future, he said in Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh, of course, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the peace, isn't he? He is our peace. Moses looked for Christmas. God told Moses in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 and 19, I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words shall he be, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Speaking of the time when the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world, and he would speak the very words of God. And he did that. The prophets looked for Christmas. The Lord gave them glimpses of the future time. Think of Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Don't you imagine there was great wonder at what God gave these prophets to share with his people? Now, a virgin is going to conceive, and he's going to be God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Micah 5, verse 2, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Predicted that this one that would come would be God. Who else is from everlasting? There's nobody else but God. Is God in the flesh? Many other prophecies that we could look at this morning, but won't, relating to the first coming of Christ. But understand that the prophets were looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming and the ministry that he had when he was on the earth, and the ministry that he's future ministry. There's still yet ministry as he comes again. That first Christmas came right on time, and many thought it would never get here, but it came right on time. And there's also an anticipation now about the second coming of Jesus, anticipating his second coming. And it may seem as though we'll never get here, and we pray, even so come Lord Jesus, don't we? And the year 2020 has caused us to long for it more, amen? And what we see coming on the horizon, so hurry up, Lord Jesus, please come. We're praying. We're looking forward to it. And it may seem as though it will never get here, but listen, Jesus will come right on time. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later. It's going to be at God's appointed time. So the first question, when is Christmas? Second question, who gave me a gift? You know, kids want to know. Well, it says God sent forth. God gave us a gift. When the gifts would be placed under the tree, our children would go look through there looking for their names on the gifts and also to see who gave them the gift. And the same thing would happen when we would go to relatives' houses. My aunt and uncle would always host on Christmas Eve night. At Christmas Eve day, we had a barbecue at my parents' house. Big barbecue. We're talking about anywhere between 50 to 100 people every year would come and eat barbecue. And then we would go gather at my uncle's house, my dad's older brother, for the little Christmas dainties, like what we're going to have at the fellowship tonight. Those things, you know, finger foods, we call them. But we would go over there, and they would have this humongous tree. And it would just be busting out at the seams underneath. Take up a lot of room. Sometimes it'd get in the way of being able to walk around and even to sit. You see those things, and we would see those things. Our children would, and you know, we'd wonder, what's for me under the tree? There are some gifts that we anticipate are going to be better than others just by knowing who's given the gift. Am I right? Now think about God. You can't get any better than Him, can you? The closer in relation or love that the person is, usually the better the gift is. And we always got our big gifts, really, from Mom and Dad at Christmas. And also, the richer the person is, usually the more expensive the gift is. Whenever we would go to Aunt Nat's and Uncle Charles's, and we would open gifts over there, we knew that we were going to get a good gift from them because they were pretty well off. He owned a painting contracting business that my dad worked at, and eventually came to own. But they also had a couple of Ramada Inns, Shoney's, steakhouse. They had other things. They were well off, and so you knew you were going to get a good gift. I wonder what Aunt Net got me this year. You know, we were that way, and I'm sure your kids are that way. But listen, the point here is you can't get any richer than God. Amen. The best gift came from the richest, the one who owns it all. Amen. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and owns the hills themselves. And He sent as a gift to the world His only begotten Son. God knew exactly what we needed. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God sees it all. We're not hiding anything from Him. He saw our great perverseness, and we were all perverse. We just were. We needed Him to give us new life. I mean, all we had to look forward to was an eternity in hell. But God gave us life. He saw our great poverty. We needed Him to pay our way, didn't we? I mean, we could not purchase eternal life with what we had, no matter how rich or poor we are. I think of the folks in this world that have money. You could combine the wealth of Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Warren Buffett, and you still wouldn't have what you need to buy your salvation. Those fellows can't buy their salvation. They need to come to the foot of the cross just like we do. Not only did he see our great perverseness and our great poverty, he saw our great pain. We needed him to heal our pain. This is a world full of pain, isn't it? I mean, just expressed by a little one this morning. As she mentioned her papa, you know. That's a pain, you know, to be without loved ones who are no longer here with us. It's a pain to be going through the things such as what Serena Stevenson's going through with the COVID. It's a pain to, as we deal with the troubles and trials of this life, as we deal with the unique things that may come our way, but they're really not unique. You know, we look at them as unique, but we know that this sinful world is full of those type things. And we have to learn how to deal with them, don't we? Well, he saw our great pain, and he's going to heal that pain. Amen. One of these days when we leave here and we're home to be with him, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow. What a wonderful thing. Amen. That comes from what he did for us. He saw our great paralysis, how we could not make our way to him. There was no way we could make our way to God. We would not assault after him in and of ourselves. We just would not have. But he came looking for us. We needed him to come to us, and he did, through the person of Jesus Christ. He saw our great predicament. We needed him to lift us out of the miry clay. We were all stuck in our sin, weren't we? Well, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and coming out of that grave 3 days later, that provided the way for us to be lifted out of the miry clay and have our feet set on solid rock. Amen. He is the solid rock. He saw our great potential. We needed him to love us enough to bring out that potential. You know, anything and everything that you see in me that is any good at all, it's really not me. It is God working through me. Okay? It's God. Yeah. He is our potential. He is our sufficiency. We are able to do what we do because of him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Right? Without me, you can do nothing. And that's true. So God knew exactly what we needed. And God put all of his love into giving us his gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. He gave a gift. Speaks of the gift. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested in the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God sent, God sent, God sent. So when is Christmas? Yeah. Well, it came in the fullness of time. Who gave me a gift? Well, God did. What gift did I get? And with you may know that you got a gift. It's there under the tree. But you don't know what it is. You're wanting to unwrap that thing and find out what it is. Our children would shake the boxes and try to guess what was in the box. I'm sure yours shake boxes too. Sometimes their old dad would put gravel in the box just to throw them off and make them think that they had broken their gift by shaking it. That's what dads are for. Okay? I remember putting gravel in the box one time. It would shake like that, and our daughter dropped the box first before she shook it, and then she picked it up and shook it. And she really thought she had broken the what was in the box. When we'd open the gifts, they would rip off the paper and rip open the box to reveal what the gift is. All except their grandma's gifts, Susan's mom. You couldn't rip those things apart. She was bad about getting them taped up so that you couldn't get into them. I would always have to have my pocket knife out to help them get in the box, because Grandma, she put a system on there that I think she used a roll of tape per present, and it took forever to unwrap her gift if you didn't have a pocket knife. So Dad come to the rescue. But listen, God's gift, His Christmas gift, came to this world wrapped in flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Christmas gift was then wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Someone said this about God's gift to us, and you've probably heard this before, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. Okay, if our greatest need had been technological, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been informational, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been financial, God would have sent a trillionaire. If our greatest need had been diversional, God would have sent an entertainer. However, our need was for forgiveness. So God sent an atonement. Our need was for redemption, so God sent us a redeemer. Our need was for salvation, so God sent us a Savior. Our need was for love, so God sent His Son. You know, for a gift to have its full impact in our lives, it must be appreciated. It has to be received, right? You know, here God is handing out His gift, the best gift ever, the gift of His Son, and some people reject His gift over and over again. How sad. I don't know if your children ever showed a lack of appreciation for something that you gave them. I know my dad told a story. I was too little to know anything about it. But when we were little, we were more interested in playing with the boxes than we were with what they bought us. Yeah. God has given us something spiritual. But you know, some people are just wanting something material. All the time people, they ask you to pray for something material, or they come asking for something material when the great need is something that's immaterial. It's not physical, it's spiritual that they need. God has given us something of eternal value, but many just want to play with something down here. So, gift must be appreciated. For a gift to have its full impact in our lives, it also must be accepted. I don't think our children ever refused a gift that we gave them. That would be the height of ungratefulness, though, wouldn't it? Would be. God's gift can be refused. In fact, there are many people who have rejected God's Christmas gift and continue to reject it. How sad. For a gift to have its full impact in our lives, we must know about it. Aren't you glad that you heard about God's gift to you? And don't you think that others deserve to hear about the gift that God has given to them, that gift that He gave to the world, not only for you, but for them too? So, what gift did I get? Number four, how does it work? In order to use the gift properly, you need to know something about the gift, don't you? When all else fails, read the instructions. Sometimes the instructions, we get caught up in the paper, wrapping paper. That's it. Did y'all throw the instructions out? You know, the Bible is our instruction book. The Bible. How do we learn more about this gift and what to do with the gift that we've got? Well, we read about it in Scripture. God sent Jesus, and it says there in our text, made of a woman. God sent Jesus made of a woman. You know, God the Son was made flesh. Why? It's because we're flesh. We're flesh. And in order to be a redeemer, He had to come in the flesh. to die, to destroy, to deliver. I'm not going to read the passage this morning, but we'll be reading it tonight at the end of the program, Hebrews 2, verse 14 through 18, that talks about that. God the Son was made flesh. How was that accomplished? How was God made flesh? Well, it's through the virgin birth. I mean, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, we know that when the angel appeared to Mary, telling her what was going to happen, as she told the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" In Luke 1 and verse number 34. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." That's the virgin birth. The virgin birth. And of course, the angel also told Joseph that that was the case. He was concerned because his espoused wife was with child. It would be concerning to any man. But Matthew 1:20, the angel assured him that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. How does it work? Well, God sent Jesus made of a woman. Number two here, God sent Jesus made under the law. What does this mean? He was sinless with regard to the law. He never broke one. Matthew 5:17, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He came to fulfill the law, not to break it. He was the substitute as required by the law. You know, those substitutes that they were using, the animals, that was only good for so long. I mean, they would have to do that on an annual basis, the Day of Atonement. They always had to do that to have their sins covered. Their sins covered. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he," and speaking of God, "hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Look at Hebrews chapter 9 with me for just a moment. Hebrews 9, and I want to look here in Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10 at some things that point to how Jesus, the situation of him being the substitute, why it was necessary, and how he was that substitute. Hebrews 9, verse number 12. It says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Just one time is all it took. Not an annual basis, not a continual thing, once for all. Verse 13, "For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Look down at verse number 24. "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us all. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. And for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Look at chapter 10, Hebrews 10 and verse number 10. It was about "by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. I like that. He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. When you come to Jesus and receive the gift that God has, you're perfected in his sight forever. He sees his Son. So God sent Jesus made of a woman. God sent Jesus made under the law. God sent Jesus to redeem those under the law. This is not speaking of our redemption from the curse of the law, but primarily our redemption from the slavery to the old Mosaic system. The emphasis here is not on the penalty of the law, but it's on the bondage. Question here. Since Christ redeemed and set free those who were under the law, why should we who know Christ now seek to be placed under it? The answer is we shouldn't. Christ has freed us from the law. And then God sent Jesus so that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's what it says there in verse number 5 of our text. That word adoption literally means the full placing as sons. The full placing as sons. That means that all the enjoyments and privileges of a mature son in a family belong to those who have entered into the benefits of Christ's redemptive work. If you become a child of God, you've been placed as an adult son with all the rights and privileges of an adult son. Isn't that wonderful? Now here's the point, and we close with this. God sent Jesus right on time for us. Right on time. For each of us. Not just any gift would do. He sent his only begotten Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, what are you doing with the gift of God? Yeah. Have you received it? That's the thing. God paid the ultimate price for his gift for you. I mean, you can't get any higher price than God's only begotten Son going to the cross. You don't have enough money to buy what that purchased for you and for me on the cross. Are you griping because you didn't get something else you wanted? Are you neglecting the gift because you're distracted by the things that you already have? Or some new things that have come along? Are you rejecting the gift because you don't want it? That's a sin of ingratitude. Don't be full of ingratitude. Thankfully, embrace the cross. In fact, accept the gift, embrace and cherish the gift, and share the gift. Amen? That's what we're called to do. I'm going to say that again. Accept the gift. Once you accept the gift, embrace and cherish that gift that God has given to you. And then share the gift with others. Because the gift was not just for you, it's for them too. Amen? So, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, we invite you to come and receive Him. And cast your sin upon Him and receive His righteousness. Because He came into the world so that you could do that. Receive Him today and you will receive eternal life. But if you continue to reject Him when you leave this life, it's not going to be pleasant. Many scriptures that speak of hell, speak of the lake of fire. Not somewhere you want to go for all eternity. Receive the gift if you haven't, and if you have received the gift, realize the priceless gift that you have and embrace it and joy in it and share it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the gift that you give to each of us in your only begotten Son. What a blessing, Lord, to not have our guilt and shame anymore, but have all that we had, our sin placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have forgiveness, we have redemption. Lord, what a wonderful exchange that we gave what we received in that exchange. Lord, if there's one that's lost today, help them to come to know Jesus this very day. Those of us that do know you, Lord, help us to look at Christmas afresh and anew from the perspective of these two verses here in Galatians. And Lord, realize just what we have. And Lord, make the most of our relationship with Jesus. Make the most of the gift that He has sent into the world by sharing it with our friends and neighbors and loved ones. Have your way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.